Jaya Giri Harada. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanaka Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Tunja Vihari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari
And thanks. Thank you, Vrindavan Priya, for bringing the Dhyarada prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Somehow or other, I came here to listen to His Grace Tesha Prabhu, and somehow that didn't work out. So needless to say, I'm not exactly prepared. So this Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text 35, continuing. Word by word in translation, Sutta Uvacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, Parikshita, Parikshita, by Maharaj Prakrit. Evam, thus, Adisha, being ordered, Sa, he, Kali, the personality of Kali, Jata, there was, Vipatuhu, trembling, Tam, he, him, Ujata, raised. Asim, sword. Aha, said. Itam, thus. Dandapanim, Yamaraj, the personality of death. Eva, life. Ujatam, almost ready. Sutta uvacha, Parikshita eva madhista, 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 Sakalir jata vipatuhu, Sakalir jata vipatu. Sakalir jata vipatu. Tam ujata shim mahedam. Tamudyatasim ahidam. Dandapanim evodyatam.
Thank you.
Ladies. The translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srisuta Goswami said, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Prithit, began to tremble in fear. Seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, ready to kill him, Kali spoke to the king as follows. The king was ready to kill the personality of Kali at once, as soon as he disobeyed his order. Otherwise, the king had no objection to allowing him to prolong his life. The personality of Kali also, after attempting to get rid of the punishment in various ways, decided he must surrender unto him, and thus he began to tremble in fear of his life. The king, or the executive head, must be so strong as to stand before the personality of Kali like the personality of death, Yamaraj. The king's order must be obeyed, otherwise the culprit's life is in risk. That is the way to rule the personality of Kali, who create disturbance in the normal life of the state citizens. I'm just going to read, there's two more verses, so I'm just going to go through those. Kaliru vacha yatra kvavata vatsyami sarvadoma tavajnaya lakshayita tartaprapi samatetu sarasanam. Oh, Your Majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under Your order, I shall but see You with bow and arrows wherever I look. The personality of Kali could see that Maharaj Prithit was the emperor of all lands all over the world, and thus anywhere he might live, he would have to meet the same mood of the king. The personality of Kali was meant for mischief, and Maharaj Prithit was meant for subduing all kinds of mischief mongers, especially the personality of Kali. It was better, therefore, for the personality of Kali to have been killed by the king then and there instead of being killed elsewhere. He was, after all, a surrendered soul before the king, and it was for the king to do what was required. 37. Tanme dharma vritam shrista sanam nirdesu maharasi yatra vanyato vatsya Therefore, O chief among the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of Your government. Purport. The personality of Kali addressed Maharaj Prithit as the chief among the protectors of religiosity, because the king refrained from killing a person who surrendered unto him. A surrendered soul should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. That is the principle of religion. And we can just imagine what sort of protection is given by the personality of Godhead to the person who surrenders unto him, not as an enemy, but as a devoted suitor, servitor. The Lord protects the surrendered soul from all sins and all resultant reactions of sinful acts. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Om Avyanta Mirandasya Ganana Sakalaya Chakumi Tamina Tasmi Sri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Prasarane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prasatyaya Satarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Chakradhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ancha kapata vidyasya. Kripa Sindhu Vairya Chapatita Nam Bhavani Vyo Harishana Vyo Namo Namaha. This is a very amazing chapter of specifically due to the very clear instructions being given by the king and in the purports of Srila Prabhupada clarifying just exactly what is the duty of the heads of state, the rulers. And in today's very divided society, the instructions being given appear to be harsh. They appear to be unjust. And yet they're exactly what is needed to keep a society in peaceful circumstances. I'm very close. So, I mean, you could also almost say that this corporal punishment, punishment by death, it's akin to killing for peace. It's not wanton killing, it's not irresponsible killing, it's justifiable and religiously correct that one would kill a person who has killed another person, are in this case attempting to kill the honorable cow and bull. We're just seeing in our own little lives, I mean, this, when you consider that these purports in the first canto were written prior to Srila Prabhupada's coming to America, it's amazing. Because it is as if they are just speaking of the times of the moment. How did he know all these things? But Prabhupada always assured us that he didn't know past, present, or future. He only knew what Krishna wanted him to know. And when he was writing his purports, he said, when I pick up my pen to write these purports, Krishna dictates to me in my ear. And thus, I just write what Krishna tells me. So Prabhupada may or may not have known himself, but Krishna was telling him what the future would be like. And Prabhupada was faithfully recording it. And we are the reciprocant of His divine grace's incredible mercy. We see here nowadays, there's a young man, he was 17 years old. He had one of those assault rifles. He went to another state with his assault rifle, got involved in some kind of demonstration. He killed two men, wounded another, and he's walking free. No charges at all. He had that rifle illegally, charge dismissed. Killed two people, charge dismissed. Grossly injured another, and charge dismissed. It's not doing any good for that person. People can, oh, he's a young man, he got cut up, he was defending himself. But what kind of life, ultimately, will this young man have? He's actually been wronged by the so-called justice. And so many other examples, one after the other, in this day and age. Yeah. Even Kali was understanding Maharaj Prickett was a rightful and just ruler, and therefore he surrendered to him. And as a rightful and just ruler, if somebody surrenders to you, then you have to protect that person. So what a situation Maharaj Prickett was placed in. Actually, his life was all full of awkward situations, beginning in the womb of his mother, when Brahmastra came at him. And then, by the mercy and magic of Lord Krishna, he was saved. So it's pointed out that the Lord protects a surrendered soul and all the resultant reactions of sinful acts. That's coming from Krishna. But we shouldn't take advantage of this to commit sinful activities as knowing that, oh, I've done something sinful, but then I'll just go, I'll surrender to the Lord or whoever my authority is. You know, that's not how it works. Actually, what's really important for us to understand in all of these intricate interactions is how the living entity is a conditioned soul, and conditioned souls automatically mean that there are sinful activities, intentional or unintentional. So the purification of the heart and consciousness is necessary in order to actually understand these intricate things and to see the Lord face to face. So that's, Prabhupada described that, that's what purification means, that you will see the Lord face to face. And he gave an example, like in the sky, as soon as the cloud is removed and dissipated, we can see everything, the sun immediately. Just like there was last few days, in the morning I would see the clouds. Everything was kind of dreary. And then when the sun came out, just everything was bright. It was clear. And even you felt better just by seeing this natural sun. So Prabhupada said, that's the process. God is everywhere, within and without. So because our senses are not perfect, sometimes persons will say, oh, what's the use of going to the temple? God is everywhere. Yeah. And yes, that's a fact, but have we seen him? Have you seen him? Even people can come to the temple and hear the beautiful forms of Radhacham Sundar and his Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, and they may not even see them. It's happened. people come to the temple, especially for the first time, and it's completely bewildering when you enter into, because you're entering into a different dimension. So if you're not accustomed to this and you come in, you don't even know where to rest your eyes. In this beautiful temple, you have these beautiful dynamic depictions of Lord Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. You have the beautiful Murti of Srila Prabhupada, or to speak of course, the main altar. And then there's all the devotees. So somebody comes in here, and it can be very bewildering. Ravindra Swarup Prabhupada recounts how the first time he visited the temple, he didn't see the deities. But he had such a nice experience, his interest was piqued, so he came back again. That time he saw the deities. So he said, where did they come from? He thought they had just appeared because he hadn't actually seen them on his first visit. So when we get purified, then we see Krishna everywhere. We see God everywhere. And, the atheist or the impersonalist, well, you don't need to go to the temple to see God, he's everywhere. But we say, yes, God is everywhere, so why not in the temple? So in the temple we can see the form of God being worshipped and being offered prasad. And it's a spiritual atmosphere. So yes, why not see God in the temple? So we have to learn how to purify our senses, and then we can see God everywhere. And we can see the Lord's representatives and understand their position and their role. In Brahma Samhita, Premandana Charita Bhakti Vilokena, that when we develop love of God, this Prema Anjana, that ointment, then we apply that ointment to the eye, and then our vision becomes clear. And similarly, there is an ointment called love of God. So if we develop that love of God by that ointment, when our imperfect eyes become cleansed, then we will see God. And so that is the process, atmatata, to see the God, to see the Lord everywhere. So the beginning of the purification is first of all to understand, what am I? Am I the body? Am I something else? And if we can understand myself, this atmatattva, what am I, then I can understand God also. Or if I can understand God, then I can understand myself also. So this atmatattva, this is the light. At night in the dense darkness, we can't see anything. I'm walking in the dark, I can't even see my hands, my legs. I don't know exactly where I'm going. I'm a little fearful, I may fall into something. So that is our condition situation. Therefore, it has to be purified. And Krishna says we have to clean ourselves, Vishuddha Artha. In order to cleanse, we have to hear from Bhagavan, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And out of his causeless mercy, he's coming to reveal himself, Krishna. I am like this, I am like that, you are like this. And the first thing Krishna tells us is, you are not the body, you're not this body. Actually, the other day, somebody was saying to you, saying this to somebody, you're not this body. And the person replied back, then which body am I? You're not this body, which body am I? Anyway, in Krishna was telling Arjuna that, asochyam anvasavachastvam pragya adami cha. You're talking like a learned man, but you don't even know who you are. You're not this body. So you're not this body. Why are you lamenting for this body, your body and your brother's body, your grandfather's body, your children's body, when you're not the body? So in this first chastisement, Krishna was accepted as spiritual master. And this is a very interesting point too, this chastisement point. That's another thing nowadays people are not very much appreciative of. If you say something that is contrary to their mindset, you know, take it like a chastisement, and they don't understand what is spiritual benefit, you know, from being corrected. So, there's the chastisement. Krishna was chastising Arjuna. And then Arjuna, because he actually was intelligent, he had temporary bewilderment, he accepted Krishna as a spiritual master. So the spiritual master has the right to chastise. And Chanakapan Pandit says that the father of the spiritual master, they're advised to chastise, you know. And said, if you don't, then how are they going to learn? What are they going to learn? Yeah. So then he's saying, tadayat means simply chastise. Always find out some mistake. Don't be angry. So it's not a chastisement of angry, but it's the business of the teacher and the father to find out your mistake, not find out your good things. So I can, you know, our little minds are like, what? What is this? So tadayan natu lalayat. So this lalayat means simply patting. Oh, my dear son, my dear boy, you're so nice. You've done this, you've done that. So, I mean, sometimes it's done. But the business of the teacher and the father is to chastise. And that's the injunction of Chanaka Pandit. You know, don't simply, you know, pat, you know, chastise. But this chastisement is intended for one's ultimate good, one's ultimate benefit. And that is the injunction, moral injunction. So then Prabhupada was telling, so far as he was referring to himself and his god brothers, so far as we were concerned, when our spiritual master used to chastise, we took it as a blessing. And that is the way you should take it. We took it as a blessing, that it was very nice. And he would chastise like anything. He would say, damn rascal, foolish, stupid, anything. All good words. Can you imagine if anybody here did that? Called his disciple, damn rascal. Would be all over the internet. But Srila Prabhupada was saying on his first meeting, when he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, so they had this little exchange because, you know, he was told, go out and preach to the West, and because they were under the subjugation of the British, he retorted, nobody's going to listen to us because we're under subjugation. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came back that the message of Mahaprabhu is not connected to the material world. Transcendental message. And so Prabhupada said, for the first time in my life, I was defeated, and I liked it very much. Because it was explained, he had always been like the leader of the pack, leader of the group of young people. And if there was ever some kind of argument or some kind of debate, he always won. And he said, so for the first time, I was defeated. And I liked it very much. Just like after Prabhupada's departure, one devotee who used to get a lot of mercy in the form of Srila Prabhupada's chastisement. And at the time, sometimes he was like not liking it or appreciating it so much. But now in Prabhupada's departure, he was saying he would give anything to again be chastised by his divine grace. Because that chastisement from the spiritual master is a chastisement of benefit. Prabhupada also gave another example. So his Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, was speaking And because our Srila Prabhupada was very fond of hearing, he was very attentive. And then an older godbrother, who was a retired doctor, somehow or other he wanted to say something to Srila Prabhupada at the same time the Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking. So, you know, Prabhupada said he shouldn't have done so, but he did. He came and spoke to him. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta saw it, and he became so angry because he knew that Prabhupada's attention was being taken, you know, away by this other person speaking. So he chastised him right then and there like any old thing. And this person was an old man, almost the same age as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And he was donating 60 rupees per month in those days. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, do you think that because you pay 60 rupees to purchase this, that you can do anything and everything? So he was speaking like that, very strong words. He said, do you think I'm speaking for others? That you've learned everything? You are diverting attention. So in this way, although it was a chastisement, it was instruction, instructive. You know. So then Prabhupada's comment, so this is nice to chastise. But the chastisement has to be done with proper understanding and consciousness. And also, we knew that Srila Prabhupada loved us. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes we're a little bit motivated to chastise because we get annoyed by somebody and now's my chance. But that's not the recommended way. So as soon as Krishna was accepted as guru, then Arjuna said, I become your disciple. Because, you know, in the beginning there were friendly talks, and in the friendly talks you can't really get good advice, you're just, you know, chit-chatting. So the talks between the spiritual master and the disciple, first of all, there was that chastisement, you know, talking like learned man, but you're fool number one. And you said, you know, actually, if you'd been a pundit, a learned man, you wouldn't have lamented for this body, because the body is neither a subject matter for lamentation, either for the living entity or the dead condition. So it has no value, you know. So that was the instruction of Krishna's word. But as I mentioned, this modern civilization, all the value is being given to this body, so-called philanthropic work, hospitalization, so many things. And so much sentimental mindset to the degree that they are giving the power to the miscreants. I mentioned one incident about the killing, but also now there's just, even here in Florida, there was a couple days ago, like 25 cars, this was like a coordinated attack, came up to this kind of a well-to-do shop, I think it's called Nordstrom. So they came up, pulled up in front of that store, well, there wasn't even parking places, they pulled up, and they jumped out, and they had big crowbars and different types of things, hammers, and they're just smashing their way into the store. And they were grabbing things and running out to their cars and taking off. Broad daylight in front of others, you know. So fearless, because now the punishment isn't there. They're having the same problem in California because they've reduced the penalties that if it's under $1,000, not a big deal. So people go into stores in mobs, and they mob a store, grab things out, and if you're in the way, they smash you, crash you. Yeah. So there is no real justice to be found this day and age. People don't understand their spiritual position, they don't understand spiritual ethics, they don't understand spiritual morality. And we're very fortunate that we have a safe shelter in Prabhupada and Krishna. And due to this good fortune, we should also be feeling great concern for everyone else out there who is living their life in such a bewildered manner, not understanding what should be done or what should not be done. You know, the karmis, they accept this gross body as all in all, Jnanis are accepting the mind and the intelligence, all in all. But we have to purify these misconceptions. We have to purify ourselves. And we have to hear from the correct authorities, from Bhagavan, from Krishna. Just like Brahma underwent great tapasya, 100 years. And then because he pleased Krishna, Krishna explained the absolute truth to him. So this poor fellow, Kali, he's getting chastised strongly. But actually, it could have been a lot stronger, and technically it should have been. But at the last minute, he got a glimpse of his unfortunate reality, and thus he surrendered to Maharaj Prickett, who, as a real Kshatriya king, accepted this person as a soul surrendered to him to give protection to. Of course, he didn't, you know, it's like a bank robber. He may rob the bank, and then later he'll come back, I'm so sorry. But you're not going to, you know, okay, that's all right, but you're not going to give him to the key to the safe. You know, so in the same way, Maharaj Prickett, he wasn't going to open up the doors to his kingdom to this fellow, but he didn't kill him. He, as the narration goes on, gave him a specific area where he could reside, which would accommodate his tendencies. Pause here and beg someone else to please give some words of wisdom for this class. You know, it's a well-known story, everybody always asked me to tell it, but you know what, I was cooking for him at one point.
Pardon?
He was correcting me. So I was always meditating every day, how to please him, how to do it, you know, I just wanted to be perfect. Like every day he was like some little kid, that was my mood, and he would say, he would like give some correction. But my foolishness, I was taking it as chastisement. Now, you could say it was, but it was because my mood was, what can I do to make it better and improve? He was telling me. But when one day, when his godbrothers came, I thought, well, I won't be cooking on that day because the godbrothers are coming. But it turned out he called me and he started telling me what he wanted. So, okay, I was going to cook. And his godbrother Anand cooked for the other godbrothers. But when I went to bring it in to him, I won't go through the details, as I was making my obeisances, he said, yes, she cooks for me. And I criticized her. So same thing. You know, it was like, and I took, and when he said that, I was like, oh, that's real. You know, that he understood my consciousness. I was taking it as like that. But actually, he was very kindly responding to my desire to do things in a way that would be perfectly pleasing to him. So when he said that, I felt perfectly corrected. No. But otherwise, I think I was too ignorant to chastise.
Wasn't there something else that where the prophet said,
but
I would, she would cut her.
No, that was the same incident.
That was the same incident.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that? It was like so.
Well, he said, yes, she cooks for me, and I criticize her. He said, but she would slit her throat for me, and I would do the same for her. And at that point, I understood Although I was the object of the remark, but he was showing his God brothers the relationship between himself and his disciples. And I was just the example. Well, on one level, Prabhupada explains that there will be disagreements. He didn't use the word division. That there would be disagreements. But he said, actually, in the spiritual world, ultimately, there cannot be disagreements because we're all there for the same personality, for the same reason. Just like the Pandavas would also fight among themselves, but at the end of the day, it was over. They would sit down and have dinner, even with their enemies. During the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Prabhupada explained that at the end of the day, the battle ended at a certain time, when the sun went down, put your arms down, finished fighting, then you would even maybe send, go join your the person you were trying to kill 5 minutes ago. You sit down at the table and eat with them. But in my observation, what is going on now, people are bored. And they're trying to find some way to occupy their minds and their actions. Because otherwise, how could we be so, like, I don't know the word to use, though. I'm just getting all these divisions and attacking one another. And we're devotees, and devotees attacking devotees. You know? Well, I'm just kind of hoping that this darkness lifts soon. But, you know, whatever is causing it is not the action. You know, it's not being caused by COVID. It's not being caused by vaccines. It's not being caused by politics. It's being caused by our own disassociation from Srila Prabhupada's teachings that are coming from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. And when, you know, at any time we all sort of slide into that. So therefore, we just have, just like, you know, when you drive, keep your eyes on the road, right? We have to keep our eyes and our heart on Krishna and Prabhupada. You know, and if we see ourselves slipping aside, get back on fast, get back on track.
That's really nice, thank you. Mm-hmm. Idea of just keeping our eyes on the road, keep our eyes on Krishna. And even if there are disagreements, just thinking of everything that we have together and what, where we really want to go.
And the things we're disagreeing about are so petty.
Exactly.
I mean, what is this? So if Prabhupada loved us like he did, then we should also try to love each other by seeing the good and, you know, they say, anybody is chanting Hare Krishna, but they're all chanting Hare Krishna. Let's, you know, check in on that side of things. Don't get involved in the other side. Sometimes when you're in administration duties, you do have to, like, get involved for the sake of trying to resolve and solve. But even when that happens, you know, you just have to really cling to Prabhupada and Krishna. But help me see and say the right thing here and not personally get involved, take a side or, you know, enter into the conflict. Don't cover your mouth when you're talking, please. You know, I can't understand you or hear you. Thank you.
You said Kali surrendered. Kali? Yeah. Kali
surrendered.
Yeah. And I have seen in your life, you surrendered very easily, very fast. Do you have any advice for who cannot surrender so fast or easily?
But who surrendered?
She said you have surrendered very quick when you met Prabhupada.
Well, I wouldn't call it It was a form and a degree of surrender. If it was full surrender, I would be a self-realized person. I would be seeing Krishna everywhere. Now it's like I know Krishna's everywhere, so I can superimpose upon my ignorance that, oh, here is Krishna, here is, you know. But I'm not a self-realized soul. But the surrendering process, it can be in an instant, or it can take some time. And sometimes when somebody first comes to Krishna consciousness, because of our background, you know, okay, we give up, we follow the four rules and regulations, sort of, and, you know, we hands are in a bag, chanting Hare Krishna, sort of. But it's not a full surrender yet. But nonetheless, it's a step, and if we just keep going on, it's going to come to that point. And if it doesn't happen in this life, as long as we, you know, continue, we have a next life to look forward that will be perfectly, wonderfully situated exactly where we left off, and we can continue our spiritual progress. So therefore, Krishna says there's no loss or diminution in this path.
I have a question.
Well, if you have a question, you're going to have to answer it yourself.
No. Even in spiritual domain, like Mother Yashoda has so much care, love, affection for Krishna that she chastises. So, Krishna reciprocated that. But nowadays, I mean, I'm not trying to judge, but, you know, in the Facebook or here or there, people are criticizing. It looks like they're trying to correct that person, but they don't have any...
Like I said, they're bored. If we were perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness, we wouldn't even be thinking most of these things, what to speak of speaking them, or posting them. Including, you know, so we're ungraciously extending our polluted consciousness to the world. How is that going to help things?
They must be drawing some happiness, huh? By polluting others. There must be some happiness. They must draw something. What motivates?
You have to ask them. It's just like I said, it seems to me they're bored. If when you're fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that's what you're going to be doing. You don't have time, you don't even have interest in these, you know, side trips.
Is that you?
He just chastised the microphone, and it worked.
You gotta. No, it was interesting. It just caught me my mind. You talk. I forget if you were talking. I mean, we've had this experience. You talk to someone, say you're not the body, and then they say, "Well, this person said, well, what body or whose body am I?"
Yeah.
And it kind of caught me because that's our natural condition. We do have form to interact. You know, and then what am I? Who am I? It's sort of tricky. Because they were ready to accept, or at least entertain, well, if I'm not this body, what am I? They had a sense that it's not like I'm nothing.
Yeah.
I have to engage. You know, form is natural to facilitate. I don't know, just kind of caught me a little. Made me think. Which sometimes is good, but hopefully.
I mean, if I don't have a body, how am I?
Yeah, how do you express love?
How am I going to talk to you now if I don't have this word?
You're not.
Well, a natural condition is that this is artificial.
I know.
Yeah. But there's something in the essence of the self that I need to engage as opposed to just becoming.
You know, the thing is, it takes bucking. bhakti takes tapasya in order to be realized. Example being Brahma. It requires a little tapasya. And in Kali Yuga, we don't like that. People just, they don't want to be bothered by even simple tapasya. I mean, even chanting 16 rounds, the four rules and regulations, and fasting on Ekadashi and Lord's birthday, so many, we have simple tapasyas now, but even then it's difficult for many. Prabhupada described it as our dog-like stubbornness. We're just resisting. Here's some good advice, here's some good instructions. But we're just, there's this resistance inherent coming in due to the effects of Kali. But if we don't observe some tapasya, then, we're going to find ourselves backsliding. But Prabhupada explained in this age of Kali that the tapasya has been minimized, therefore the 16 rounds, the four, And Lord Chaitanya, he gave his good prescription. He was Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Simply chant.